Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now. Good morning, everyone. Patrick Conley back with you here on the Rediscover Hour this morning. And hey, I got a question for you. Are you baptized? For all of you who said, yes, I am baptized, did you know that you then have a particular, a unique role to play in Christ's mission to the world, which is nothing less, let's be straight up about this, it's nothing less than bringing the message of salvation to every man, woman, and child on earth. And if you're baptized, then you have a special, unique role to play as part of that mission. And you don't need to worry, though, because God equips you for that. As you know, in baptism, and then again at confirmation, you receive the Holy Spirit in baptism, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit in confirmation, and God gives you the gifts that you need in order to live out that particular role that you play in Christ's mission to the world. And we have a word for that here in our Catholic faith. That word is charism. Charism, which is a word that means spiritual gift. You are given specific gifts for your particular role in Christ's mission to the world. They're special graces of the Holy Spirit. It's actually the Holy Spirit working His salvation out to the rest of the world through you. You are the instrument of the Holy Spirit. You are the pen in the Master's hand. And but how do we find out? That's the big question. What about these charisms that we've been given? What about these spiritual gifts? How do we find out what we've been given? How do we discern those spiritual gifts, those charisms in our life? Well, thankfully, a woman by the name of Sherry Waddell, some of you might be familiar with Sherry. She's the author of the very popular book, Forming Intentional Disciples, and she's the co-founder of the Catherine of Siena Institute, which is out of Colorado Springs, Colorado. And she put together in the early 1990s a curriculum of how lay people like you and I can go about discerning our spiritual gifts. And that is called Called and Gifted. You may have heard of Called and Gifted. You may have even been through a Called and Gifted workshop. That's what this show is going to be all about. We have them going on here locally, these Called and Gifted workshops, figuring out, discerning what charisms, what spiritual gifts are alive in our life today and how that directs our part in Christ's missions to the world. And we're doing this in conjunction with the Archdiocesan Office of Evangelization. So we're excited about this partnership that is continuing to expand, and more lay people are discerning their gifts and they're living them out here in our backyard in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. We've already had one workshop this program year that happened just last weekend at the Church of St. Pius X out in White Bear Lake. We had about 100 people there. Beginning the work of discerning their spiritual gifts and deepening their relationship with God so that they can live out more fully their mission to the world today. We've got two more workshops coming up here in the local area just this fall. One we've got on October 28th and 29th. It's a Friday night, Saturday deal, and it's at the Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake. We'll have more information on that. And then we've also got another one coming up on November 11th and 12th at the Church of Our Lady of Grace down in Edina. Again, a Friday night, Saturday workshop. And coming up on the Rediscover Hour, this particular hour, we're going to talk with, first of all, we're going to talk with Brandy Reed, who's one of the people who's helping coordinate Called and Gifted here in the local area. But she is also, we're going to talk with her about her experience of going through the workshop. She's in studio with us. We're going to go to the phones and talk with Father Joseph Johnson, the pastor of Holy Family Parish in St. Louis Park. He's going to tell us a little bit more about the church's teaching on charisms and specifically how they play into the life of the archdiocese here and how that can be a good thing for evangelization and for mission. And then we've got Sean Lavelle, who's with us, who's down at Our Lady of Grace in Edina, and he is going to talk about the workshop that they've got coming up there and his vision for how that can transform the parish's life as well. So it's an exciting show. It's something that's personal to me. I'm glad to be part of it as well here in the archdiocesan area, and I'm glad to bring this show to you today. And I think just as we get going here, we'll once again commit the show to the care of our Blessed Lady. So let's pray together, shall we? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, it's an exciting show, folks. Stick with us, and we'll be back just after this.
football fans, before you tailgate with your friends, find great deals on Bridgestone and Firestone tires for your car, truck, SUV, or minivan. And be prepared for wind, rain, or whatever cooler weather brings. Find peace of mind and never miss a single game with a new set of innovative Bridgestone or dependable Firestone tires. Now you can make it to more than just the home games. Tires to fit every vehicle are available today at Westside Tire in Corcoran. They'll take care of you.
One thing for certain is the weather will be changing soon. Another certainty is most of us put off maintenance on our cars, trucks, or SUVs. Take care of basic maintenance now, like tires, brakes, or alignment, at Westside Tire in Corcoran. Westside Tire has tires and brakes to fit every vehicle and service people who can get you in and out with a quick and affordable visit. Westside Tire is the choice of Relevant Radio listeners. 763-420-2100. Just 15 minutes west of the metro. Another thing for certain, I'll take care of you.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley with you again. Today we're talking about spiritual gifts. We're talking about charisms and discerning the gifts that God has given us to live out our part in Christ's mission to the world. Joining us in studio right now, we've got a woman by the name of Brandy Reed, who again is one of the coordinators of Called and Gifted here in the local archdiocese. It's great to work with Brandy. She's become a good friend. But it's great to have you here in studio with us, Brandy. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Pat. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. So, Brandy, tell us, before we even get into the questions about spiritual gifts, tell us a little bit about you, your family, your parish.
Well, I am married to my husband, Rob, for the last 16 years. Fantastic man who actually himself just came into the church a few years ago. And we have three boys. Sam, our oldest, is a ninth grader at Chesterton Academy in Edina. And Jonas, our sixth grader, is at Holy Family Academy with Father Joseph. And then our little blessing a year ago, little Tommy.
Very nice. Well, good shout out to the family there, yeah, too. And you worship here at a local parish, I'm assuming?
I do, at Sacred Heart in Robbinsdale with Father Peterson.
Oh, very nice. Okay. Well, again, welcome to the show. So tell us a little bit about how you first heard about Called and Gifted, Brandy.
Are you going to be surprised if I say Relevant Radio?
That's the correct answer. Yes. Paul, remember, we'll have to pay her later.
I would say it was about 4 years ago, listening to a program on Relevant Radio, and there was a young priest talking about, after his ordination, how he had come to discern that he had a charism of healing. And at first, he was very shocked by this, because obviously that wasn't the norm. And So I was fascinated by that story and by this idea of charisms, which I knew nothing about at that point. So, of course, like any of us today, I went home and I Googled charisms. And right, it led me to the Catherine of Siena Institute. That was pretty much the only information I could find. And so then I started looking at their workshops and thought, oh, this is great. And then I Googled, you know, Catherine of Siena Called and Gifted Workshops, St. Paul, Minneapolis, and the cathedral popped up with their Called and Gifted Workshops.
Excellent, yeah. Yeah. So when did you attend a workshop? Do you remember when that was?
I had to look. Mm-hmm. It was the fall of 2013.
Okay, so that's a few years ago, mm-hmm, now, right? So Called and Gifted, the workshop, it actually just introduces you to the process of discerning your charisms. Mm-hmm. It's not, you go to the workshop, you come out knowing exactly what your spiritual gifts are. It's, again, an introduction to the process. So I presume then you've been continuing to discern charisms since you attended the workshop back in 2013, you said.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. You know, ideally, for my personality, I wanted to go to the workshop and be told, come out of there a day and a half later, knowing what my charisms are and what I'm supposed to be doing.
Right.
Well, you know, sadly, that doesn't happen.
No.
But it has been a long process, and I'm still in the discernment process of, as we're taught in the workshop. You know, there's 24 charisms are identified. I can say confidently half of those are not charisms of mine.
Right.
I know that for sure.
That's good.
I've identified a handful that I know to believe, or I believe to be charisms, and then there's still a bunch that I'm not sure about.
Yeah, still figuring out.
Yeah, right?
Under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, of course,
right,
in prayer. Yeah, that's a good thing. And it's a good thing, too, to know. I mean, talk a little bit about what's the benefit of knowing where you aren't gifted?
Oh, it you know where you can say, no, thank you, that's not in my wheelhouse.
Right.
And it makes life easier to discern where God is calling you. you see where he wants you to work and where he wants you to operate, because as you're taught in the workshop, the signs of those charisms, it's very obvious that God does not want me in music ministry.
So
that's good. So when they keep asking for members to join the choir, I'm not your girl.
Right. Well, it's a good thing to know, too, right? I know one of the things that we talk about, one of the phrases that we use in the workshop, and it usually gets a good laugh. It's a great phrase, and it's not original with me. But you can just, when somebody comes to you and says, you know, we really need somebody to do this, and you recognize it's a place that you're not gifted, right? You can say, well, if you want my results, I'd be happy to do that. But if you want God's results, you'll ask somebody else, somebody who's gifted in that area, right?
Very, very true.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit more about what's involved in the discernment process as it's set out as calling gifted. I mean, how do you discern? I mean, obviously we enter into the process of discernment. We talk about the five steps of discernment in the workshop. We introduce that. But where the rubber meets the road, what does it mean? What does discernment mean? How do you do it? How have you been doing your discernment?
Well, I think one of the ways to do it, and it's recommended in the workshop, is that you focus on one potential charism at a time. And it could be as short as a couple of months. It could be years before you have that certainty whether or not this is a charism. And I think one of the best ways to go about that is to always think about that charism. Every morning you wake up, you pray to the Holy Spirit to show you if this is a charism of yours, if there's examples that come up. And one of the things I always recommend in my interviews to help people discern is that they keep a journal. And if an experience comes up that you think is a potential sign that it's a charism, if you have those outward signs, to write about it, because I'm sure many people are like me, you forget about it. By the end of the day, I can't tell you what I had for breakfast, let alone whether or not I had any of these great experiences. But if you journal about it, over time, it starts to present itself.
Yeah, that's great. It helps you reflect on where you've seen the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, even if you can't see it in the moment.
Right.
You start seeing a pattern over the course of time. Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us, we're talking about spiritual gifts, charisms, with Brandi Reed and her involvement in the Called and Gifted workshop as she continues to discern the gifts that God has given her as part of her role in Christ's mission to the world. So, Brandi, I know one of the roles that you play in helping to facilitate Called and Gifted here locally is coordinating the follow-up interviews. So people may not know that after you go through this Friday night, Saturday workshop, and again, we've got a couple coming up in late October and mid-November, which we'll talk about in a few moments. But after that workshop, really a staple piece, a very important piece of discerning your charisms comes in the follow-up interview. What's that all about? What's the interview all about?
Well, the interview is for those of us who have gone through the training to help us listen to someone's stories, to their experiences with God, how He is using them, so that we can listen for those charisms. Because it's oftentimes difficult for us to see the charisms ourselves, because we think everybody sees the world the way we do. And that is, in fact, not the case. So
what?
Wait
a minute. They don't?
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
So we listen to people's stories, and what they think are just mundane, everyday experiences, we often hear the wow factor, like, wait a minute, what happened when you did that? You know, that's not normal. And people are usually shocked by that.
Right. Yeah, absolutely true. And that actually brings up another good point, is that, you know, oftentimes lay Catholics like you and I, and I would guess some of our clergy as well, can sometimes get a little antsy about words like evangelization and mission and that sort. And it seems like the first thing that pops into our mind is street corner preaching or knocking on doors or something like that. And when we talk about discerning our spiritual gifts so that we can play our role in Christ's mission to the world, it's really not about, well, maybe it is for some with the charism of evangelization, but it's really not about things like street corner preaching and door knocking. What is it about? I mean, how do these things, how do they manifest in our lives? What kind of role do they play? And are they really scary?
Not at all. Actually, I think they're fabulous. And I think, you know, God is infinitely wise in the way that He created each one of us for a specific purpose, a specific mission and vocation. And it's our gifts that equip us to, first of all, discern what that is. For me, again, my personality, I would have loved to be given that in an email, you know, when I was a young woman, like, all right, dear Brandi, from God, here's what I want you to do. But He doesn't operate that way. He leaves us clues that we have to figure out. And through the charisms, we are able to bring God's love and his mercy and his wisdom into this world that desperately needs it.
Right. And because it's the Holy Spirit alive and at work within us, by virtue of our baptism and again, our confirmation, right? So we are actually providing the opportunity for people to encounter Christ within us.
Right.
And one of the things that, again, we talk about in the workshop is that sometimes, as you've already said in terms of the interview, but sometimes just the person on the street who may or may not be a person of faith can recognize those gifts within us even before we do. Is that right?
Right. And I think that's key, you know, that God has left these clues written all over our world of his existence. And we are biggest among that, I believe. You know, and so that if you are acting out in a charism of, say, mercy or encouragement, you're going to interact with people outside of the church every day. And if they can see that little bit of Christ in you, even if you're not evangelizing to them per se about the church, it's a beautiful thing for them to encounter God's love through you.
Absolutely, absolutely. So our Father continues to reach out with a hand of mercy, with a hand of salvation to the world. And it's really a privilege to be used by him in this way that actually makes us more into the men and women that he's created us to be. You know, it's almost like he's thought this through, isn't it? Yeah, absolutely. We're talking about spiritual gifts, charisms, and how they play out in our own lives to help us be part of that unique, or play that unique role that we have to play, that living out the vocation that Christ has called us to in his mission to the world today. Next up, we're going to be speaking with Father Joseph Johnson, the pastor of Holy Family Parish in St. Louis Park, about the magisterial teachings on specifically charisms. But for now, Brandy, you're going to stick around for a little bit.
I am. Thank
excellent,
you.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, we'll draw you back in. But thanks for being on with us, Brandy, and we'll be back just after this.
It's time to reconsider how you bank, to rethink where you go for financial products and advice. With tens of thousands of Catholic members across the United States, Notre Dame Federal Credit Union is well known for providing the warm personal service and great deals that have made credit unions such a popular alternative to banks today. And now through their innovative new Elevate program, your car loan, small business loan, student loan, or credit card can generate a big donation to participating Catholic schools, parishes, and even Relevant Radio. Help yourself and help the church. Banking with Notre Dame Federal Credit Union is a new experience. So join the people who value what you value and support what you support. Call 844-237-6611 or visit relevantradio.com and click on the link at the bottom of the page. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union, where you bank does matter. It's more.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. This morning, we're talking about charisms, spiritual gifts that people are given by virtue of their baptism and strengthened in through their sacrament, through the sacrament of confirmation, to help them live out the vocation, the specific role that they have been called to play in Christ bringing salvation to the world. On the phone with us right now, we have the pastor of Holy Family Parish, Father Joseph Johnson, who's going to talk a little bit about this whole charism business and if it is actually of the teaching of the church. Good morning, Father. Good to have you with us.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Thank you. And so, yeah, what about this, Father? I mean, we're here talking about these charisms, and it sounds like, you know, it's maybe just one of those things that they're trying to get the laity more involved in the church and doing more things in the parish. But is this really something that we find in the scriptures and the tradition of the church and the teaching of the magisterium?
Absolutely. And actually, it's the opposite of what that, you know, initial impression is. It's not about, okay, how can we get the laity more involved? You see, I've actually banned the word volunteer from my parish.
Excellent.
We actually have a little can in the front office, and if any staff member uses the V word, then in goes a quarter. Because the Red Cross has volunteers. Jesus doesn't.
Right.
Jesus never said, go therefore and make volunteers of all nations.
Mm.
You know, what we have is disciples. Jesus has disciples. And the charisms of the Holy Spirit are the way that we live out our discipleship in the mission of the church. because the mission of the church is not the mission of the clergy. It's not the mission of a small paid staff in the office. It's the mission of every baptized believer. And that's what we find in the scriptures, where St. Paul speaks so beautifully about the church as the mystical body of Christ, and it has many parts. It's something that the great modern saint and doctor of the church, St. Thérèse of Lisieux, the little flower, would speak about, how, you know, she would find what is her part in the life of the church. We're all supposed to find what our part in the mission of the church is. And the charisms are gifts that come from the Holy Spirit, which are not primarily for my holiness, but rather for the building up of the mystical body of Christ, for the extending of the kingdom of God in our world, for service to others.
Very good. And so, but is this something that as a clergy person, I mean, maybe another, I would hope, false impression that people would have is that perhaps, you know, this is threatening to pastors. It's threatening to the clergy, again, in that way. Is this, you're a pastor, so why would you think it's important? Why would you like to have your parishioners discern their charisms?
Well, I'm delighted, not threatened, because what we find is, you know, the way that church life goes today, usually father has to strong arm somebody to do something, mm-hmm. or guilt people into it. Instead, if everyone in the pews is going, all right, let me discern, how is the Holy Spirit calling me to service in the church? Boy, it makes your pastor's life a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then it's just a matter of directing traffic, okay? Helping people to say, okay, this is your particular charism. Let's fit you with this particular role here in our parish, and there you go. Rather than the pastor looking out the pews, okay, who can I nab before they duck out the side door and ambush them and make them feel guilty if they don't agree to chair the fall festival for next year? You know, this is the way that parish life goes right now, and it's not the way it's supposed to. And of course, it's good for the laity too, because there are some generous souls that, you know, you walk into a meeting and you don't know which meeting it is, because you see the same faces. They're at all the meetings, the people that just give themselves so completely, but you risk burnout that way, you know. And instead, every single member, every single baptized Christian has a role to play in the life of the church. And that's what I call mature discipleship. You know, it's not about getting the work done, all right? If God just wanted the work done, he would have sent the angels. They would have done it quicker and better.
Amen to that.
Right.
Yeah.
Instead, he uses imperfect instruments like us. But every one of us has a part to play. And so to discover that is to discover our dignity in the mystical body. And also the beauty of how each one of us is meant to be a blessing to those around us. You know, I worry with the year of mercy that sometimes, you know, people think, okay, great, Jubilee, year of mercy, right? Mercy, give me mercy, God, give me mercy, God, give me mercy. Whoa. Listen to the Holy Father. Pope Francis is talking about the corporal and spiritual works of mercy as much as about us receiving mercy for our sins. So we always have to avoid this, you know, where it's just about, okay, what God can do for me and how I can get God's grace and I can become a saint. No. It's also about, through the Holy Spirit, how God not only makes me a saint, but God pushes me out into service of those around me.
So essentially what you're saying, Father, is that God really never works in us without seeking also to work through us. Would that be a good summation?
I think that would be fair, yes. Because of this notion of the mystical body of Christ, that we're all connected,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so something that benefits the toe is also going to benefit the hand, right? Because the right. whole body is better. Just like when you stub your toe, it's the whole body that hurts, right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
You know? So to discover that, the Holy Spirit, you know, I'm just so grateful we have an opportunity to speak about the Holy Spirit, because we know what a Father is, we know what a Son is. Holy Spirit, you're just kind of like, just vague, fuzzy notions and just kind of leave aside. But for us to be Christian, we have to delve deeper into our relationship with the Holy Spirit, how we are temples of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit comes to transform us in baptism, how the Holy Spirit strengthens us in confirmation, how every single decision I make, from my vocation to what time I'm going to get up in the morning to how I'm going to respond to this person that I'm speaking with right now, every single moment like that, big and little, we should be seeking the Holy Spirit to direct us. You know?
Yeah. I think I understand entirely what you're saying there. I just wanted to come back to that word you said, vocation. Now, it's been my impression, as you well know, Father, I'm no longer maybe a baby Catholic, but I'm just old enough. I'm about 6 years old as a Catholic, so I'm just old enough to cause some real trouble in the church, I'm sure. But what about this word vocation? We so often use it in terms of, do you have a vocation? In other words, meaning, do you have a vocation to the priesthood or the religious life? But it's wider than that, isn't it? It includes the laity, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You have, I mean, marriage is a vocation. Not a vacation, but a vocation, right?
Yes, right.
You know, and all of these other ways that the Holy Spirit is guiding us, you know. So, again, not just in the big picture of your vocation as your state in life, but also in the daily living out of my Christian discipleship. You know, my fear is that people, Christians, go through life making all sorts of decisions without ever consulting God. You know, just assuming that God's going to be fine with whatever I decide, instead of thinking, maybe my loving Father in heaven has a plan. And it's not just the big picture plan, but maybe he has a plan for today.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the opposite of what Mother Teresa used to say. She was beautiful. She said, let God use you without consulting you.
Yeah,
you know,
nice.
Instead, we decide without consulting God. But she's got it right. Let God use you without consulting you. So sometimes you find the Holy Spirit nudging you. And you're like, well, I don't want to do that. And you're supposed to say, okay, you know, but maybe if that's what looks like the Holy Spirit's pushing me to, okay, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to set aside my distaste, my initial rejection, and I'm not going to do it in a begrudging manner. I'm going to do it because everything of your will is what benefits me. It's not contrary to me. It's not imposed as something aggressive and negative upon me.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way that you're unfolding me to become the wonderful person you created me to be, and through me to bring you the blessing of your merciful love to the world.
Just to elaborate or expound on that a little bit more too, Father, that, you know, maybe as Americans or Westerners, we currently have a mindset, I'm certainly no stranger to it, that, you know, that really living the happy life, living the life that I really want means that I have to eschew kind of duties or tasks or responsibilities that others would place upon me. But it sounds to me like you're saying much the opposite when it comes to especially the work of the Lord, the work of his church, that he is actually inviting me into something that's actually going to deepen my own personal happiness. Is that
right?
That what you're saying?
Right. Selfishness, right? We all know, you know, in maybe 2 months, you know, A Christmas Carol by Dickens is going to be everywhere. And we all know the story of Ebenezer Scrooge, right? Selfishness is not the path to happiness. Self-gift is the path to happiness. Self-gift is what Christ reveals. God so loved the world that he gave us his only son. Jesus so loved us, he gave up his life for us. Self-gift, that's the image that we were made in, right? And that's what brings happiness. Even Charles Dickens shows us that, and we all love the Christmas Carol and go to see it every year, and we all get its message. No one stands up and says, I think Ebenezer Scrooge was better off before. You know?
Right.
No. No one does it. We know it. We know it, but we don't live it. We don't apply it in concrete ways to daily life, and we need to.
Right.
We need to, because self-gift is the path to happiness. Bill Gates once said, I wish I wasn't this rich. Mother Teresa never, ever said, I wish I wasn't this poor. You know, and that's what we, as Christians in America, we should shudder a little bit that we live in the most prosperous society ever to exist on the face of the planet. That we are lulled into a sense of comfort and complacency, and that we've made our heaven on earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? And all of that is a passing illusion.
When it's something that, as you said, Father, is where we find our happiness, where we find our flourishing, our blossoming as children of God, as human beings created in the image and likeness of God, is through a gift of ourself. And that's one of the things we talk about in the Called and Gifted Workshop. We say that these charisms, these gifts that are given to us, are actually always for use for others. It's not for us, it's for others and the salvation and the sanctification of the world.
Right. And it's you know, if you want to go back and look at the people that try it out in the world to get happiness, you know, it's not what you get out of life that makes you happy, it's what you put into life that gives you a sense of fulfillment. And even sociological studies have been done, you know, on that. And that's what we have to do, is see, how can I, made in the image and likeness of Christ, conform myself to who I truly am and give of myself in that way? And you look at Mother Teresa, 4'10", wrinkles on her wrinkles, crooked teeth, broken English, and, you know, the opposite of a supermodel.
Mm-hmm.
And yet people were attracted to her.
Mm-hmm.
She was attractive. Not in a superficial sense, but the beauty of the Holy Spirit working in her, the way she brought God's love to the world, was beautiful, compellingly so. There are 5,000 women who've left everything today to follow her, to follow Jesus with the example of Mother Teresa. You know, that's attractive, that's powerful. And the example of the saints living with the charisms of the Holy Spirit, you know, that actually is more powerful than the best written theology textbook in terms of converting the world.
Mm. Wow. We're speaking with Father Joseph Johnson, pastor of the Church of the Holy Family in St. Louis Park, about discerning our gifts and how we live out those gifts in our lives to give ourselves away, to make the to make ourselves into God's gift to others around us. And Father, just in the closing minute that we have here, I just, again, am reflecting on what you're saying about Mother Teresa being so attractive. And specifically, you know, she is famous for seeing in the face of the poorest of the poor Christ in distressing disguise, right? But it's interesting to me that it just occurred to me that as you were speaking there, that surely people saw in her, with all, again, with her supposedly, as the world sees it, unattractive features, they saw Christ, didn't they? In her. They saw Christ alive in her and encountered Christ in her person.
It was the beauty of her soul aflame with divine charity.
Amen.
That's what attracted them. And that's what each one of us can have. The Holy Spirit's dwelling within us. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. So choose a beautiful life, not an easy life. That's the key.
Absolutely. A beautiful life, not an easy life. Father, it's been so great to have you on the show this morning. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to talking again with you soon.
God bless you.
And you. Thank you, Father. We're talking about charisms, spiritual gifts, and how we discern them in our life to make our life into a gift to the world. We'll be back after this.
My name is Steve Smith. You've heard from my dad for years about modern roadways. Winter is coming, but there's still time to have us fix any current potholes or areas that will be trouble in your driveway or parking lot by spring. We clean the area and apply a tack coat so the new holds to the old. Next, we patch over the present surface using its strength and durability and only jackhammer and excavate where it is necessary. Skin patching is one-third the cost of excavation patching, so it covers three times as much area for the same cost. We still offer $100 discount to any customer who gives us the go-ahead on any job of $1,000 or more and identifies themselves as a Relevant Radio listener. We've just received another A-plus award from the Better Business Bureau. We provide free estimates and work quickly to repair your asphalt. Modern Roadways, 763-545-1777. 763-545-1777.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. We are talking about spiritual gifts, about our charisms and discerning our charisms so that we can live out that unique, particular role that Christ calls each one of us to play by virtue of our baptism and strengthened by our confirmation in His mission to the world today, which is nothing short of bringing the message of salvation, bringing the encounter with Christ to every man, woman, and child on earth. And that is a distinction that's given not just to our clergy. It's not about the clergy themselves doing all the work, but and it's not just about our religious doing all that work. And God bless them in the work that they do. But it's given to us, again, by our virtue of our baptism and our confirmation. So that means you and I, folks. That means us as laity. Joining me now in studio is Sean Lavelle, who is the Pastoral Associate for Mission and Discipleship. Did I get that title right, Sean?
Yes, you did.
Okay, at Our Lady of Grace in Edina. And welcome, Sean. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Patrick. It's great to be here.
Now, you've been working in parish ministry for quite a while now, haven't you?
Yes, 15 years.
15 years, yeah. Okay, so you you certainly have engaged with a lot of programs. You've engaged with a lot of parishioners, with a lot of laity, seeking to, I'm sure, develop their own personal relationship with Christ and everything. But you also know about this thing called Called and Gifted. How did you first hear about Called and Gifted?
Yeah, great question. So it was actually in 2008. I was working as a director of stewardship for a Catholic girls' high school that was starting up. The school sent me to a stewardship conference to learn more about bringing a stewardship model to our school. And one of the breakout sessions at the conference was Sherry Waddell speaking on Called and Gifted. I remember vividly, it was this big room that seemed twice as long as it was deep, and it was packed. And Sherry's talk and the vision she laid out was fantastic. I thought, wow, this is a whole nother way to look at ministry. I came home and I ordered the workshop materials, read through them, and then took the inventory. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to implement it at the school due to the financial snags we hit in starting up. And then it kind of lay dormant. And then in 2014, I read Form Me Intentional Disciples, also by Sherry Waddell, which blew my mind and made things so much clearer when it came to ministry, mainly how to lead others to become a disciple of Jesus and how many of the families in our parishes are not yet disciples. So I started looking at everything through that lens. How can I help others on their journey with the Lord? And then the summer of 2015, I was blessed to be able to attend the Siena Institute's four-day full workshop on making disciples. And here I saw the fuller picture and all the pieces that are most helpful to lead others to discipleship. And one of those key pieces is the called and gifted discernment process.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So yes, you've actually obviously been through a lot of this, and you've seen it then, it looks like, taking more and more of a central role in how you understand, not just how you as a layperson are called and to live out your gifts. There you go, called and gifted, right? But how you can help others as well. Now, so you've been through a workshop yourself then, is that right?
I have. So reading the materials and taking the inventory on my own was a start, but it was only just a start. Going to the workshop last January was the next step for me. And from the workshop, I had a much better and, again, fuller understanding of the charisms and how they work and how they work together. Last night, I was thinking of this analogy. You know, hearing a clarinet or a violin play by themselves, you know, you think, like, that's really beautiful. I love the sound of a violin. But then you hear them play together with all the instruments in the symphony, and you experience a fuller sense of what these instruments can do and what they can do together.
Mm-hmm.
And then the personal interview afterwards, which Brandy talked about, was really key for me because I left the interview with a sense of mission. And I think that's the real beauty of discerning one's charisms. It helps reveal God's plan for you in your life. Through the process, God's plan for your life becomes more clear. Recently, my wife, Barbara, participated in a workshop, too. The hope is that the two of us discerning our charisms, God's plan for our life as a couple will become
right.
more clear.
Right.
Because Barbara and I aren't just called to our individual missions. God has called us together for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
He has a mission for us as a couple, and I want to know what that – we want to know what that mission is. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that that's worth underscoring again, that it's not just about – the individual. I mean, certainly it is about that. That's one of the things we try to stress in the workshop is the individual is discerning his or her charisms. It's also about the communities in which God has placed us. First and foremost, of course, is our family. So married couples and even incorporating the children as well and saying, this is our starting point for mission. and what gifts has God given to us within the context of our family? But certainly that extends to our parish community, for example, as well. What gifts has God given us in this parish? And then how does he expect us to live them out as we go, from day-to-day life through the parish in order that the world around the parish can encounter the person of Jesus Christ in that? So are you continuing to discern, Sean?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a few of my charisms were relatively easy. You know, I've been in ministry for a number of years and you know, knew about called and gifted and what was going on with it for some years. But one of the charisms was particularly challenging. The one that was challenging to discern for me was the charism of administration.
Okay.
Because I assume that someone with that charism would love making Excel spreadsheets, which
right,
I don't,
right.
Or be like a detail person, which I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
So the interview added a lot of clarity to my discernment. The aspect of charism of administration that I have is putting all the pieces together, which I think is at the service of my charisms of wisdom and teaching. For example, I really enjoy putting the pieces together of a talk that I'm preparing for. What do I need to convey? What's the best way to convey it? What about showing a video clip or adding some artwork? What are some common misunderstandings or objections that I need to anticipate? And how does this talk lead the listeners to develop or deepen their relationship with Jesus? And how do all these pieces fit together in 20 minutes on a talk on the sacrament of baptism, for example?
Wow.
I love putting those pieces together. I'm energized by it.
Yeah.
Excel spreadsheets, not so much.
I hear you there, brother. Yeah, right. So, Sean, you've talked about administration and wisdom and teaching being charisms that you've discerned in your own life. And one of the things we say in the workshop is we should never be embarrassed about saying what our charisms are. Certainly we have this kind of gut reaction to say, oh, that sounds proud. That sounds prideful. You know, I need to be humble. But I think then we're not really understanding that this is the work of the Holy Spirit within us. It's not about us. It's about the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And Brandy, actually, I want to go back to you because we talked about what your charisms aren't, but we didn't use what you did say that you've recognized that, yes, I have been given some. So tell us what some of your charisms are, Brandy.
Well, the ones like for Sean that were very easy for me to discern right away were knowledge, teaching, and service. And I found I'm a trained teacher. I taught elementary school before I had my boys. And so to me, that one, it surprised me a little bit because just because you know how to do something doesn't necessarily mean it's a charism,
mm-hmm.
you know, or that. But I've come to recognize that my charism works not necessarily through a classroom model all the time. It can work one-on-one with people as well.
Right.
And that ties in with the knowledge charism. You know, you have this thirst for knowledge that the Holy Spirit gives you. Well, you can't just keep it for yourself because these are not about us. You
right.
have to have an avenue to share that.
Right.
And so those are two. And ironically, just like Sean, I'm still discerning the administration charism because this is one I tend to reject.
Yes, yes, that's right, yes.
And largely for what he said, you know, like spreadsheets, no,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I'm a list maker and my kids will tell you that I'm very organized in certain aspects, but my mm-hmm. own personal life, this is a key. Charisms don't always carry over to your own personal life.
Yeah, right.
You know, if it's not at the service of others, it's not going to be there.
Yeah, yeah. These are all things that we talk about in the Called and Gifted Workshop, a workshop that's offered so that people, laity, baptized, confirmed people in the church can start to figure out, start to discern the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given. Now, Sean, you have an upcoming Called and Gifted Workshop on November 11th and 12th at Our Lady of Grace in Edina. So tell us, so after everything that you've outlined about your own history of interacting with Called and Gifted, why did you decide OLG should host a workshop?
Great question, Patrick. As I stated earlier, because I think it's one of the key pieces to making disciples of Jesus, and that for me personally, it's really helped me understand God's mission for my life. And then I think it's also helped me to see how much God loves me,
mm.
how he's giving me these gifts that energize me by using them, and how these gifts are meant for others. I mean, that's just awesome. On a parish level, though, as I'm looking at this, I'm thinking this is a great tool to help parishes move from maintenance to mission.
Mm.
I think a lot of parishes across the country are in maintenance mode. They are maintaining. A great example of this, which Father Johnson alluded to too, is the recruiting that happens every fall for catechists and small group leaders for our faith formation and youth ministry programs.
Sure.
Every fall, we say we need volunteers to step up in order to fill these roles in order to maintain our programs,
mm-hmm.
which is fine, but
mm-hmm.
there's a better way.
Mm-hmm.
What if we helped our parishioners discover the way God was working in their lives, the way he has gifted them and called them to a mission? then our parishioners would be breaking down our doors to teach in faith formation. And you laugh at that, but it's true.
Amen, brother. I'm with you. Yeah, it's true.
They'd be breaking down our doors to teach in fourth formation or lead a small group in youth ministry because they'd be on a mission. And what if on a bigger scale, a large number of families of our parish felt called to a particular mission that didn't even exist in our parish? And because they're energized by using their charisms, they start this ministry of the parish. And because, again, this is God calling them, not them coming up with this on their own, but God is using them. So by God using them, many people draw closer to Him through this ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing, Patrick. The Holy Spirit is alive and well in our parishes.
Amen.
He wants to transform the families in our parishes, but we need to be able to understand what He's saying, what He's calling us to do. Called and gifted is a great tool that helps us hear His voice.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it, and I didn't mean to chuckle there about people breaking down our doors to teach our religious ed classes, for example. And in fact, I'm going to employ one of the phrases that my good buddy Mike actually frequently says, and if I have to say, well, I have to do this, which I think is oftentimes the attitude in the parish, right, is that, oh, I have to do this. I have to teach religious ed. I have to volunteer to help on church cleaning day or something like that. It transforms that, doesn't it, to I get to do this. So every time I say I have to, my buddy Mike reminds me, no, you get to. And that's exactly the mentality, isn't it? When you get to that point where you are familiar with what your charisms are and you're given an opportunity for those charisms to come rushing forth through you, the Holy Spirit to work through you in this way, it's exciting, it's energizing, it's something that you feel like you want to do, right?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of us have had that experience where we volunteered for something and we dread it.
Yeah.
We're counting down the minutes until it's over. And that's probably not a charism, but when you're using your charisms, you love it, you're energized mm-hmm. by it, you can't wait to do it again. And you see God working in your life. It's incredible.
Yeah, Sherry Waddell, the co-founder of the Catherine C. Ann Institute and the developer of this curriculum, this called and gifted curriculum, I think her phrase in the workshop, as she teaches it anyway, is it's using your charisms, living out your charisms is the most fun that you can have legally. I think it's what she says anyway. Certainly as a disciple of Christ, that's true. We're talking about called and gifted and discerning our charisms, discerning the ways that God has particularly called us to live out our unique role in Christ's mission to the world, bringing salvation and hope and love and mercy to every man, woman, and child on earth. Sean, what are your hopes for having a called and gifted and what called and gifted can do for Our Lady of Grace in Edina as a parish?
Well, as I stated above, that we'd be a parish on mission, a divine mission, and that we'd be more open to where the Holy Spirit wants to lead us and bless us as a parish. Because it's not just, again, we know by doing God's work, by doing His mission, that that's when we're the best version of ourselves. That's when we're the most happy, the most loving, the most joyful. So it's not just where the Holy Spirit wants to lead us, but also where He wants to bless us as a parish.
Mm.
And I realize this is a process. I mean, this takes time. But if we have 100 parishioners every year discover the way God is working in their lives and what He's calling them to, I would dare say that in 5 years' time, Our Lady of Grace would be a completely different parish.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and in fact, again, one of the things we talk about in the workshop is specifically how knowing your charisms can certainly, I guess, as we already talked about, transform ourselves and our own walk with the Lord, drawing us deeper into that life of discipleship, of being a student of the Lord, but also, in a sense, apostleship, being sent by the Lord out into the world today to again, transform the world through the work of the Holy Spirit. But it's also, as you said, it's not just about that, but it's about how charisms, knowing our charisms, can actually change the world. So the world itself can see Christ coming to us through others, you know, through ourselves. As we live out those charisms, they can see Christ alive and at work within us and living out our charisms in that way. Brandy, let me go back to you for just a second, too, as you've now, again, stepped into this role of helping to facilitate called and gifted. And what do you see as one of the major advantages of parishes now continuing to look to seek to discern charisms so that their individual members can live out those charisms? How does it help build up the body of Christ in a parish?
Well, I think that Sean talked about this. You know, in every parish, there are 1,000 ministries. And sometimes as Catholics, we feel like we have to do everything. And so even if you only have 3 volunteers or disciples, as Father Joseph would like to call
them.
Running something, it's still worthy to keep it on the books, even though you struggle year after year to keep people involved there. Well, once we discern our charisms on a personal level, as Sean has said, you start to see a pattern in parishes, because God calls us to particular parishes for a reason.
Yeah.
And it's largely because of what he has gifted us with to work with others, because knowing our charisms and being surrounded by others who share the same charisms magnifies the work of God when we work together.
Amen.
And so once we identify charisms within individual members of a parish, it starts to show what is God's purpose and mission for that particular parish. And every parish is going to be different. So not every parish has to do every ministry.
Right. Amen to that. We've been talking about discerning our spiritual gifts, discerning our charisms here with Brandy Reed and Sean Lavelle. Brandy, Sean, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
Thanks, Pat.
Yeah. And again, we have upcoming upcoming called and gifted workshops put on by the Catherine of Siena Institute in conjunction with the Office of Evangelization here in the Archdiocese, November 11th and 12th at Our Lady of Grace in Edina. And we're going to talk about the one coming up at the Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake as part of our Rediscover Our events calendar. So, Paul, what do we got coming up?
Well, if you've ever asked God, what do you want me to do? Perhaps he's already showing you. The Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake invites you to join them for a two-day called and gifted workshop.
There it is.
Friday, October 28th through Saturday, October 29th. To register for the workshop, visit the events page at churchofstpaul.com. Registration ends Monday, October 24th. Find out more by calling Jonah Winkleman at 763-757-6910 or jonah@churchofstpaul.com.
You are invited to Wakota Life Care Center's 40th anniversary party on Saturday, October 29th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Church of St. Joseph in West St. Paul. Join us for refreshments, hors d'oeuvres, and desserts as you come and learn about our mission, new updates, and exciting future. For more information, call 651-457-1195.
Members of law enforcement and first responders, along with their families and the public, are invited to attend a special Blue Mass, 5:15 p.m. Wednesday, November 2nd, to honor their courageous service and to ask for God's protection and blessings as we all work together to build up the common good. This Mass will be celebrated with Archbishop Bernard Hebda at the Cathedral of St. Paul, Wednesday, November 2nd, 5:15.
Faithful Art is a gathering of Christ-centered artists featuring art that is crafted, recorded, painted, written, and drawn by local artists. That seems to incorporate almost everybody. This event will be held at Hamel Community Building on Saturday, November 5th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. with a musical performance by Nate Reinhardt from the band Sonar and is the Director of Liturgy at Holy Name of Jesus in Wayzata. For more information, email info@faithful-art.com.
St. Jude of the Lake invites you to their parish retreat with Deacon Keith Strom, traveling team leader, and with called and gifted. Yep. Deacon Strom will present on the retreat titled Ablaze, Passionately Pursuing Christ and Your Life of Purpose. There will be four 90-minute talks offered Sunday, November 6th through Wednesday, November 9th at 7 p.m. with music included. Topics include God's desire to be in a relationship with us, God's gift of the Holy Spirit, and God's healing and call to conversion. To find out more, visit stjudeofthelake.org.
You know, Paul, actually, Keith Strom, Deacon Keith Strom, was the first teacher of my first called and gifted workshop.
You know him, right?
Yeah. In fact, he's become a good friend of mine. I'm glad he's coming to town. We'll have to see if we can get together.
He'll have to check up on how you're doing.
That's a little intimidating. I don't know if I would actually invite
him. I'll send him an email.
Yeah, it might be good discernment fodder to see if a discernment of a charism of teaching is actually there. Men, you are invited to the Thursday, November 10th Catholic Watchman Rally at the Church of the Transfiguration in Oakdale. That's the Catholic Watchman Rally. This rally will run from 6:30 to 9 p.m. with Archbishop Hebda presenting. This Catholic Watchman Rally is an opportunity for men to draw closer to Jesus Christ and invest in fellowship with other men. There'll be time for adoration and confession. Dinner will be provided. Registration is not required, but a free will offering will be accepted. For more information, visit thecatholicwatchmen.com. watchmen.com. That's watchmen, not watchman. Questions, contact Enzo Randazzo at Randazzo, V-R-A-N-D-A-Z-Z-O, V as in Victor, at archspm.org, or call 651-291-4483.
This was a great show.
It was a great show. I think
you did nice work, man.
I think we need to mention just one more time, sure, since we talked about called and gifted, we talked about discerning charisms and that sort of thing, that we do have two more workshops coming up this fall. You mentioned, Paul, the Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake is hosting one on October 28th and 29th.
Right.
And we also have, as we talked with Sean Lavelle this morning, we also have one coming up at Our Lady of Grace in Edina, and that's on November 11th and 12th. And to find out more about how you can register and more information about these workshops, you can go to rediscover-faith.org. That's our Rediscover website. And you'll find right up at the top, as well as about halfway down the page, a link to Called and Gifted. Just click that.
That's easy. That's and what's easy. Up next week?
Next week. Join us next week as we talk with Jason Adkins. Yeah, you know what? We have an election coming up.
I heard that.
Have you heard that? Okay. The executive director of the Minnesota Catholic Conference. Jason will help us better understand how our vote contributes to the common good. Maybe not a phrase that we hear too often, the common good these days. We'll also talk with Brian Wenger, who is speaking at the upcoming Higher Calling series on true leadership. This topic on true leadership provides an integrated approach to Christian leadership rooted in theology, philosophy, and real-world examples. That's all coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour. Hope you can join us. Until then, go to church and be the church. The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.